Matthew chapter 18. The message today is compassion like our Lord's in the hearts of others. Compassion like our Lord's in the hearts of others. I want to read you several scriptures because they are essential if you're going to accept what the Bible teaches about compassion once it's bestowed. You would think that would be the end of the matter, but in Matthew chapter 18, starting at verse 21, we'll see about that. Then came Peter and said to him, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Until seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king who would make a reckoning with his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him that owed him $10 million. I'm interpreting this so you can understand it better. But for as much as he had not wherewith to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And the Lord of that servant, being moved with compassion, released him and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him $20. And he laid hold on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison, till he should pay that which was due. So, when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were exceeding sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord called him unto him and saith to him, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because you besought me. Should not you also have had mercy on thy fellow servant, even as I had mercy on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due. So shall also my heavenly Father do unto you, if you forgive not every one his brother from your hearts. Please notice again, verse 21, then came Peter and said unto him, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me? And so the ones under consideration are not brothers and those that aren't part of the family, but in both instances, they concern brothers. And listen carefully, because what I tell you this morning is difficult to accept, and yet it's plainly taught again and again in the Word of God. Verse 35, so shall also my heavenly Father do unto you, if you forgive not every one his brother from your hearts. Now turn to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Verse 14. Our Lord has just taught, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And then he says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And look at verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now let's look at some references in the Psalms. Turn to Psalm 78. And look at verse 33. Verse 32 will help explain it even more. For all this, they sinned still and believed not in his wondrous works. Therefore, their days did he consume in vanity, and their years in terror. Now look at verse 38. But he, being merciful, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away. Now turn to Psalm 85. And look at verse 8. I will hear what the Lord God will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Now Psalm 99. Verse 8. You answered them, O Lord our God. You were a God that forgave them, though you took vengeance on their doings. Psalm 106. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. And one more reference in the Psalms, 130. Psalm 130. Verse 3. If thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. And the last reference that we'll read is in the New Testament again now, Mark chapter 10. Look at verse 28. Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or mother, or father, or children, or lands, for my sake, and for the gospel's sake, but he shall receive 100-fold now, in this time. Houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. Now let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we have read so much of thy word, and all of it is filled with light. We understand our God, that some of the things in the scriptures are simple to understand, a child can understand, and others you have made difficult because you have said that the duty of kings is to search out a matter. And so let us be like nobility and seek to understand not only the simple things of the Word of God, but the difficult things as well. So help us to understand and to compare Scripture with Scripture, the ones that we've read today, and understand in a way that is according to thy will what the ultimate truth of these scriptures teach. Our God, thou dost know the devastation that has been experienced by so many from the south to the north and east and west. And so for all of those in their devastation, our God, we cry to thee. And thou dost know the compassion we have for them. And we pray that you shall have mercy upon them and work out your will in their lives through this disaster, we pray. And concerning our men that are fighting, let us know that you have a will for them. We pray, our God, that thy will shall be done in their lives. Let them lift their eyes to heaven and understand that you are God and that there is none else, and save their souls, we pray. And bless us here this day as we look to thee for good. We confess our sins, be faithful and just, forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. In the past weeks, I have told you about the compassion in the heart of our Savior. I showed you so many scriptures in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, telling about our Savior's compassion displayed toward others. But also in these Gospels is our Savior teaching a compassion like his compassion in the hearts of others. Now that's most important. We expect compassion to be in the heart of the Lord Jesus. But in other passages, our Savior teaches compassion in the hearts of others like our Savior's compassion. And that's the thing that concerns us, because that Jesus is compassionate is to be taken for granted. But that his love bestowed upon us is also to be like unto his love, and the compassion that he showed toward men is to be the compassion that is our heart that we are to show toward men. And that's why the message today is compassion like our Savior's in the hearts of others. Now, notice that in past weeks, I told you that our Savior looked upon men that were diseased, and it says his heart was moved with compassion. He looked upon people that were hungry, and his heart was moved with compassion. But today, it is not a teaching of our Savior's heart being moved with compassion, but in a parable, and he speaks three. In this parable that we're to consider today, it is compassion in the heart of another like unto our Savior's compassion. And in whose heart is the compassion today? It said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king who would make a reckoning with his servants. So in the parable, here is a king. And in other parables, there is a good Samaritan. And in another parable, there is a shepherd. So here, we have a shepherd that has compassion, and we have a father that has compassion. But when he speaks about this compassion, the compassion I read to you about in the king, it's not his compassion, but it's compassion in the heart of another. So this gives me courage. It means that at one time when I was lost, I was filled with hate toward God and toward man, but when His grace was manifested toward us, not only was the hate and sin in me forgiven, but this is what John says, we love Him because He first loved us. And He who showed compassion to us imparts that compassion to us, and He expects us to show compassion to others. You say, well, so many of us, even though we've trusted Christ as Savior, we're not very Christ-like, and compassion is missing, and love is missing in our lives. That is why I read you all these scriptures and showed you the danger if the compassion of Christ and if the love of Christ is not found in your heart. And I'm speaking to us who have trusted Him as Savior. Because you would think, having trusted Christ as Savior, we automatically will love. And we automatically will show compassion to those that sin against us. That's why I read you that portion today about one who did show compassion, but then he turned around and he was displaying his wrath toward those upon whom he had previously shown compassion. And so many people have failed to understand the teaching of this passage, and those who believe you can be saved and lost say, it's simple. Here is a man who was saved because compassion was shown him and his sins were forgiven, but he failed and the forgiveness that was shown to him was taken back and he was lost and went to hell. Can you set aside that teaching? The Bible said clearly that he forgave him all his debt and all of the penalties that were to fall upon him, they were forgiven. But then at a later date, because of something that he did, the one who showed compassion, it said he was filled with wrath and delivered him to the tormentors. You say, well, that has nothing to do with us. But the Lord Jesus said, so shall my heavenly Father do unto you if you forgive not every one your brother from his heart. And so there's no getting around it. Even though you've been forgiven, if you do not forgive, a penalty like that I read you about is going to befall you as it befell that man who had been shown compassion, but he refused to show compassion. You say, well, it certainly sounds like you can be forgiven, and then that forgiveness can be taken back. And that is exactly what this portion teaches. But what we fail to grasp is what was clearly told us in Mark chapter 10. I hope you noticed it. Because in this portion, it said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king that would make a reckoning with his servants. And so God is a greater king, and he makes a reckoning with his servants. But I read you carefully and slowly two periods of existence in the life of God's people and his creatures. Peter said, Lord, we've left everything and we followed you. What shall we have? The Lord Jesus said, you who have left houses and brothers and sisters, all of you that have left these things, he said, now in this time you shall receive a great reward and in the world to come, eternal life. You can't miss that. The Savior said, you shall receive now, in this time, certain rewards. And he said, and in the world to come, eternal life. That will explain the difficulty. And if you apply the breaking down of the two reckonings that God has with his servants, the reckonings in this life and also the reckonings in the life to come, you understand that not once and for all, but once and again, God reckons with his servants. The one that most of us are familiar with is Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You say, that's the one that I know about, the judgment seat of Christ. And not only that, it may be the great white throne. But with us as Christians, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Why? Because God makes a reckoning with his people. And that for us is the judgment seat of Christ. And has the judgment seat of Christ taken place yet? You say, of course not. The Lord hasn't come. Well then, that reckoning is in the world to come. But the Lord Jesus also teaches that there is a reckoning in this world. And that some people who have forsaken everything for Christ receive now in this life houses and lands and brothers and sisters and mothers and friends. And he says, with persecutions. So, now in this time, there are reckonings and rewards that God bestows upon his people. And that's not the end of it, because in the world to come, the Lord Jesus says, there is another reckoning. You say, then, the forgiveness that we've experienced once for all as sinners has to do with what's going to happen to us in the world to come. That is right. And the forgiveness that we've received, the things that we've done in our lifetime, can be forgiven, and also that forgiveness can be taken back by God. You say, how can that be? I read it to you in the Psalms over and over and over again. Let me tell you what the Lord Jesus said to this man in John 5, who had been sick 38 years. And the Lord Jesus healed him. And having found him healed in the temple, the Savior said this. He said, sin no more, lest a worse thing befall you. You say, yes. He had been healed because of the sin that he had committed. And the Lord Jesus said to him, sin no more, lest a worse thing befall you. So in this world, the sin that had brought on that sickness that he had endured for 38 years had been forgiven. And the Lord Jesus said, do not sin anymore, lest a worse thing befall you. Now that's terrifying. Something I've done has afflicted me 38 years, and now that God's Son has shown mercy on me, if I continue in sin, a worse thing can befall me. I told you the words of our Savior. And I read you from Psalm 85, the same teaching. It said, I will hear what the Lord God shall speak unto his people. He shall speak peace unto his people, but let them not turn again unto folly. And so we Christians teach that we have eternal life and we shall never perish. And thank God that's true, because That is the first, the initial forgiveness that God has bestowed upon us as sinners, fallen descendants of Adam, alienated from God, without hope and without God in the world. And we come to Him and we say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And we place our faith in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that forgiveness, thank God, takes care of our eternal destiny. And it means that we shall not come into condemnation, but we pass from death unto life. You say, well, everything is cared for. Well, if that's so, why does it speak about the judgment seat of Christ? And when all that we've done shall be judged by fire. And if what we've done is like gold and silver and precious stones, it shall abide. But if what we have done that is unworthy of God is consumed like wood, hay, and stubble, there's nothing but ashes. You say, then there was such a thing as being saved so as by fire. That's what it says in Corinthians when it says we have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 3 and in 2 Corinthians 5. And even though we've been forgiven, and thank God if we have been forgiven, if we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, it means we're going to be in heaven. But it may mean that we'll go to heaven with a handful of ashes. Or it may mean that we shall go to heaven with abundance of rewards. And so remember, if you have called upon the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of sins as a sinner, you are eternally cared for. You shall not perish. Hell shall not be your portion in the world to come. But this is what the holiness people who believe that you can be saved and lost, they throw in our teeth. They say, well, now that you've been saved, you can commit all the sins you want to, and you can still go to heaven, and God will do nothing about it. That's exactly what God does not teach. Yes, our sins have been forgiven, and we are certain of a place in heaven, but we cannot do what we please, because if we do what we please, then the wrath of God will fall upon us, His children. And I read you again and again that the Lord Jesus said it to us. He said, if you've been forgiven, He said, if you do not forgive your brethren, God will not forgive you. And so there are the consequences of what we do now that we've become the children of God that befall us in this life as well as in the life to come. Now, when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, all my failures, the fire will consume them and there will be ashes. But that is not what happens when we sin in this life, because the Bible teaches it this way. Here is a man that owes a debt to God that is astronomical. Who could believe? And it's speaking in the time period when Christ lived. Who could conceive of someone owing $10 million when the wage for a day's labor was 25 cents. But here is a man that's not a day laborer, evidently. He is a steward and he has great responsibilities for the king. And somehow, through lack of ability or through embezzlement or through bad investments, he has lost $10 million worth of his king's goods. And so the king calls him to account. Please notice, it is in this life, it's not in the life to come. The Lord Jesus tells us about that coming day in Luke 19. A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And when he returned, he called his servants before him. That isn't this at all. That's in the world to come. But God also takes account of His servants in this life and what we do. And even though we've trusted Christ as Savior, there is still that fallen, Adamic, sinful nature in you. And even though the divine nature says no, the sinful nature says yes. And you know better than anybody else how often you do what the sinful nature bids you to do. And when you do, you run up obligations to God. A debt, and God is able to put a cost upon each sin that we commit. And this man who had the great responsibility has run up a debt, even though he has a right relationship with the king. He's run up a debt of $10 million. And it's one thing to be able to waste $10 million, but it's another thing to say to the king, have patience with me, I will pay you back. How can you pay the king back when you have nothing to invest, when you have no ability? What ability you had was a failure, and you run up a debt of $10 million. How can you ever pay him back? But the king had a heart filled with compassion, and he saw the impossibility of this man's situation. And it said, being moved to compassion, he forgave him the debt. And all the judgmental things that were coming upon him. He was going to be sold as a slave. His wife and his children were going to be sold as slaves. And he was going to be cast into prison until that debt was paid. And it would never be paid. What happens is this. It was forgiven. And so all the horrible things that were going to happen to you, and please notice, that now that you are a Christian, what you do affects not only you, but also your loved ones as well. Here is a man that's a drunkard. You say, well, it doesn't do anything to my family. It destroys your family. I am a fornicator. It destroys your family. I am a thief. It involves them as well. And so, when God makes a reckoning in time with the sins that we commit, it involves suffering of our family. But thank God for this, that suffering, by confessing our sin and asking for forgiveness, it can be cleared, and the judgment that should fall upon us in this life can be set aside. And you Christians know what I'm talking about because you've read concerning coming to the Lord's Supper. You come, and as in the New Testament times, they came, and some were drunk, and some were filled with unconfessed sins. And Paul says, because of this, some of you are weak, and some of you are sickly, and some of you are dead. Some of you have slept. Why? They're going to heaven, but because of their behavior in this world, the judgment of God has fallen upon them. And so, yes, your sins concerning your eternal destiny have been forgiven. But the sins that you commit after you pass from death unto life, you are no longer a sinner guilty before God, but you are a son, and you have a heavenly Father. And that is why we have to have accounts that are taken care of and kept clean, or else the judgments of God can befall us in this life. And so our Savior teaches us that there are things that we must do now that we are saved. And one of them is to show forgiveness and compassion toward our brothers if they come and beseech us to forgive them. And if we do not, things similar that happened unto this man will happen unto us. And there's more I have to tell you, but I'll have to tell you next week in the will of God, because time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that you are a God whose heart is filled with compassion. And let us know that we've come to you the first time, and we've called upon the name of the Lord, and we've been forgiven. But now we are your children, Father, and you still call us to account. And we've seen what happens to disobedient Christians. We're so glad that we shan't be lost. We can be saved so as by fire. but receive the torments and the sufferings that can befall us in this life. And so let us fear sin. We feared it the first time because it was going to result in hell fire. And let us fear sin now because it can cause us misery in this life. Our Father, we thank you that you have a heart of compassion that has forgiven us the first time. And if we confess our sins, you shall be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse us the second time. So, our Father, let us be children that do not sin. And if we do sin, let not our debts amount up, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.